I'm sorry, I should have asked Shauna if you were ready. You're always ready.
She's quick.
I'll open the Wednesday, April 25th hearing of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. Good morning, members. And we have a brief agenda today. And so I will open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2640. And Mr. Stembridge, please tell us about this
Madam
bill.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2640 allows applications for absentee ballots to be submitted by electronic mail. It deletes a requirement that candidate nominating petitions include residential address of signers and requires a sign to be displayed at unofficial ballot collection sites. The sign would say not unofficial ballot drop site, and it would be printed in all caps in bold 50-point type. We were trying to be innovative in this summary, and we put down at the bottom of your summary a notice that was in bold and all caps, 50-point type, that says not an official ballot drop site. Maybe a be read from the audience even. We suspect that this will not be in this form should it appear on the floor. But I wanted to point out that you have a dash one amendment that actually takes out the catch line of the bill. The dash one amendment restores the residential address requirement for signers on nominating positions and petitions, and it adds an option of supplying mailing address instead of the residential address. You should have a copy of the dash one amendment in your packet.
Does everybody have that? Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Okay, and this is Representative Boone's bill, but it's at the request of the Association of County Clerks, and it looks like we have a witness signed up to testify. So, Nicole Williams, please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nicole Williams. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Clerks, and I am the Clatsop County Clerk. I would like to first of all thank Representative Boone for sponsoring this bill. This is at the request of the association. This is our housekeeping bill. These changes are requested to clarify the laws we feel necessary to provide more consistency. I will provide a brief explanation of all the changes. Section 1, page 1, line 10, an amendment requested to this committee asks for the language to be changed to residence or mailing address, which will provide consistency with the language required under other petitions, such as initiatives. Section 2, page 1, line 18, this eliminates the requirement that absentee requests include a signature of the applicant. Currently, election officials can accept a change of residence or mailing address by fax or email without a signature, but cannot do so for absentee addresses, for an absentee address. This language was left out, was left over from the days of the poll elections and prior to all mail elections. All signatures on voted ballots are validated against a signed registration card, so the signature request for absentee requests are inconsistent and confusing to the voters. This language would allow the change for email requests for these absentees. Section 3, page 2, lines 12 through 38, this clarifies that prohibition from electioneering and obstructing for an election conducted by mail applies beginning on the date that ballots are mailed to electors and ending on election day at 8 p.m. or when all persons in line who begin the act of voting by 8 p.m. have finished voting. Page 3, lines 31 through 35, this language provides that only an elections official in performance of their duties may provide election advice within a building, any building that ballots are issued, or a place designated for the deposit of ballots. This would include drop sites. And within 100 feet measured radially from any entrance to the building or from the location of any other place designated for the deposit of ballots. This language is requested to ensure that Oregon voters receive consistent, accurate, and non-conflicting information. At the past presidential election, you may recall many well-intentioned individuals were providing election advice that was in conflict with election law. This proved quite confusing to our voters. This is not to eliminate the rights of groups to have observers at the elections. Page 3, line 41, this language requires that an unofficial ballot drop site post a sign in bold 50-point type to ensure that citizens are clearly aware that it is not official. And finally, section 4, page 3 through 4, continues to allow an automatic update when a resident's address is indicated on the return label from the United States Postal Service. This does not allow an automatic update to be made from a label that indicates a change in the mailing address only. When the information provided is a mailing address, it is unclear that the voter may not have moved from their residence address. This risks providing an incorrect ballot to a voter that may have moved. By making this change, we would assure more accurate voter registration records. Thank you, and I can answer any questions you may have.
Could you explain a little more about that last change?
Yes.
That was just me.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is when we mail ballots and we receive them back from the United States Postal Service with a label, and it's called undeliverable ballot. Mm-hmm. And it's usually when the voter has moved, and we need to have those back so we can automatically update our records. Sometimes, well, quite often actually, a voter will change their mailing address, and we will only receive indication of the mailing address change, but we have no indication of where the residence address has moved. So we are asking, you know, in many of those cases, when people do change mailing address, they have moved. So by just simply changing the mailing address on our voter registration records, we have not accurately updated the voter because we don't have knowledge of their residence address. So we could be sending, or we are sending in some cases, incorrect ballots to these voters. In this case, if you made the change, if you went ahead and voted for this change, we would be inactivating the voter when we get the undeliverable ballot back. But we would also be sending a card to the voter, which we do in all cases, and giving them a chance to update their address.
So actually, I'm currently having my mail forwarded to a temporary address in Salem while we're down here, but my permanent residence address hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So what would happen, because I think the ballot would come back to you because it can't be forwarded, right?
Chair, Madam Chair, yes, it would. Because ballots are not forwardable. So what in that case, it would come back to us. We would send you a card that is forwardable, mm-hmm. and you would update your, you would verify that the mailing address has changed, but your residence address has not.
And then in that case, can a ballot be sent to the temporary address?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
But only after you return that card.
Correct, yes.
And that's true now, or that's only true under the provisions in this bill?
Well, Chair Rosenbaum, and I said at the beginning of my testimony, this is intended to provide consistency. And I can tell you that it's not consistent right now. Some counties are changing the mailing address, updating just the mailing address only without changing the residence address. And some counties are going ahead and inactivating you as a voter and sending you the card.
So this change is meant to address it specifically so that all counties would handle it the same way?
Chair Rosenbaum, yes. That's what we're requesting.
Okay, questions? Vice Chair Berger.
If I could pursue this line of question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, so on page 4, line 3, this new language about United States Postal Service indicating residence address is different from the residence for the electorate today. I haven't moved for so long that I'm sort of unaware of how the United States Postal Service does this, and is there some official record from the USPS that you're referring to here? That, I mean, do they send you a postcard that says this person moved and you update? No.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Berger, the Postal Service will attempt to deliver your ballot, mm-hmm. and if you have moved from that address, they would send it back to us. Mm-hmm. and not the records that they're. Now, I believe they have a database. I mean, I haven't seen it.
Madam Chair, that would just invalidate your ballot, right? It would just come back, USPS sent it back, you're out. We don't know where you are. Is that what this language does?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Berger, actually, if you filled out a change of request form with the United States Postal Service, it would come back to us with that change address, and we would automatically update you as a voter in our system.
So that's the record that I'm looking for, that is official, that would help me or you.
Correct.
Or both of us.
Yes.
And so that is an official thing that you recognize.
Yes.
And that's what's recognized here.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Berger, it is in statute that we provide this for the voters.
Okay. So now I'm confused, because that answer sounded different from what you said a minute ago. What happened to this sending of the card to the voter to verify if they actually had moved to this new address permanently or not?
Chair Rosenbaum, actually, what we're requesting today is when we receive the United States Postal Service sticker, which is a mailing request change only, we would not update the voter in our registration records to the mailing address. We would inactivate the voter, and we would send a card to that voter saying that it's forwardable, that would say, you are inactivated and you need to update your mailing and residence address with us in our offices.
But that doesn't seem like what the language of the bill calls for. The way I read this, a county clerk shall update the registration of an elector in the county upon receiving written evidence from any one of the things that follows, and that includes the United States Postal Service indicating a residence address that is different from the residence address for the elector contained in the records of the county clerk, which makes it sound like once you were notified by the Postal Service that there was a different residence address, that the county clerk would then update the registration based on that alone.
Chair Rosenbaum, I believe what the language says is that because we can have voters come into our office and update their own mailing address. So if they come into our office of the county clerk, we can update their mailing address and their residence address. But we are asking to not do that from the indication from the Postal Service for just mailing address changes only.
Yes, Representative Hunt.
Madam Chair, I think my reading of the bill is the same as yours, because the way I read this, which actually makes sense to me, that assuming I'm moving within the same county, we moved 2 years ago, 1 mile, same county.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I read this, if you had sent me a ballot, I had not changed my voter registration, let's say. You had sent me a ballot. It had been returned to you because it's not forwardable, saying, here's the new address, 1 mile away. My county clerk, the way I read this, would update the registration of me as an elector in the county upon receiving that written evidence from the U.S. Postal Service indicating a residence address. And then, the way I read this, then she would just mail me a new ballot. Is that not the way you're interpreting this?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Hunt, you are correct. If you had not filled out a voter registration card in our county to update your address, and we sent you a ballot and you moved, and we received your ballot back because you updated your address with the Postal Service, you put in a change of request, and you did it for your residence address and it's the same as your mailing address, we would update your registration and send you a ballot. However, if you had moved from, and you had not moved, but you changed your mailing address, and you did not change that with us, and we sent you a ballot to your old mailing address, but you had updated it to a new mailing address, and the Postal Service would return that to us, what we are asking to do is inactivate your ballot, because we have no indication of whether, we don't know if you moved across town or not. And in most cases, when people update their mailing address, they have moved. and we would inactivate you, send you a confirmation card, a card that's forwardable, and ask you to come in and reactivate and fill out a new card, and we would send you a, issue you a ballot.
I follow.
Yes, follow up. Please do.
Actually, the chair's example seems a little cleaner because at least she, her temporary address was out of county. So that one, it seems a little clearer in here how that would have not been changed and forwarded. But when it comes back from the Postal Service, my memory of those, I have moved several times.
And
those yellow stickers that come back on the envelope, do they, I don't remember them actually indicating a difference between a mailing address. I mean, if it's a P.O. box, maybe you have a red flag. But if it looks like a residential address, does the Postal Service actually indicate whether that is a mailing address, a residence address versus a mailing address?
I don't think so. Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Hunt, no, they don't. But and to answer your question, it is the P.O. boxes that are the main problem.
Okay. So if
yeah,
I could just
go ahead.
Try just to make sure. I think it's clear in my mind, but just let me make sure. So, assuming it's not out of county, assuming it's not a P.O. box, if the U.S. Postal Service sends you back something saying, this person has moved, here is a new non-P.O. box address in the same county, under this language, you would update that address, send out a new ballot to the new address?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I think we've got some more questions, Representative Roblin.
Yeah, and I guess mine is the same thing because my understanding is that that you could call and check with the post office and they could tell you if it was a residential change or just an address change. But when you get the sticker back, it's just a residence. I mean, you don't know the difference between it. And so what I'm just making sure that the clarification I got is exactly the same as one that Representative Hunt, and that is that if changing the address to this new mailing address does not affect the ballot in any way, i.e. the same ballot would have been sent to both addresses. You just send the ballot out. But if there was even a change in the precinct people or something else that was on that vote, on that mailing, you wouldn't change it. You wouldn't send it out because it would be a different kind of ballot than the one that was going to be in the first place. So the only time you would use that address that came back from the post office is when changing it doesn't affect the ballot that they're going to get sent to them in any way. Because otherwise, I think you'd need to send the postcard. That's the... Pardon?
Maybe...
Is that correct?
Well, you need to clarify.
Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, no, I'm confused. But I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, you state your question? Every in our voting, there's a lot of different ballots that go out.
Ballot styles,
because of where I live in my same district. Mm-hmm. So the national elections may be the same, but there are local election issues that are different. So even though I live in the same area, if I change precincts, basically, in my address, that precinct change automatically changes how my ballot might look on some particular deals. And therefore, moving a precinct would force you to go back and send the postcard as opposed to just changing the address. The only time you could change the address that came from the post would be as if you moved and stayed in the same precinct.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Roblin, actually, when we receive notification from the post office that an elector moved and they changed residence, we actually update that address. We would change the ballot style. And that's why it's so important for us to get the notification back from the Postal Service.
But let's follow up.
Go ahead.
So, but what you're indicating there is then that they are saying it's a change of residence. And that postcard means change of residence. It means more than what I was hearing from Representative Hunt, because my understanding was it's the same sticker that would be put on if it was a P.O. box. It's the same sticker that would be put on if they're moving the mail for any reason. So there's no indication that it's necessarily residence change, even if they give a different residential address. How do you know?
We do follow up with a precinct memorandum card, too. Whenever we make a change, Representative Roblin.
Okay, that
Chair,
okay.
Yeah. Chair, Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, anytime we make a change to a voter's address or anything, we send out, we follow up with the precinct memorandum card. It's a different card than what I was talking about earlier when we inactivate the voters, but yes, we do.
Okay. Representative Escobar.
Yes, I hate to make everyone's head hurt, but
too late.
We moved up here for session, and we forwarded our mail from Medford. And for the first month, it went great. And then all of a sudden, second month, we get calls from people saying, why is your mail being returned to us? Mm-hmm. And come to find out, about half the people in the postal department were putting a stamp on there that said, recipient refuses this mail or something to that nature, that we refuse that, and the other ones were forwarding it to us, so we're getting about half our mail. What do you do when that happens?
It's not their problem.
Chair Rosenbaum, representative, ballots aren't forwardable. So.
Oh, but I mean, it comes back instead of a sticker saying it went to 123 Easy Street forward, it's going to come back and say they refuse it, non-deliverable.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Escobar. I guess, and that is why we follow up with the card. You know, we give that voter another chance to.
You do send it out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, if that card came back, you have the same problem.
You could have a 50-50 chance.
So what happens when the forwarding address is in a different county?
Chair Rosenbaum, this has been discussed amongst the Association and Secretary of State's office quite often in the past year since we've gone on to the centralized voter registration system, and right now we inactivate them. However, we are talking amongst our Association and Secretary of State's office about how we could actually update those addresses automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're on the statewide system. So we are going in that direction.
Because it seems like you could do the same thing, really, send a confirming card and then...
Correct.
And Vice Chair Berger?
I have a question. If we're off the post office, I have another question on the bill. But it's unrelated to this provision.
Sure, go ahead.
Unless somebody wants
Does
to
anybody
head
else
here
got
further
questions on this provision?
I would just like to state, Madam Chair, that
Representative Escobar,
there's times when we have to be responsible for our actions as well, and we can't have the county clerks choosing us now either. We move to a different county, we all know we're supposed to re-register. So.
But I guess my situation. You will. I mean, my county will get a forwarding that shows a different county, but I haven't moved permanently to this county. So I guess then it's incumbent on me to contact them.
I agree. That's right.
And let them know if I knew to do that. So, okay. Now I think that completes our questions on this provision. So Vice Chair Berger, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I would just like to talk briefly and have her go up. The Section 3 changes, page 2, lines 12 to 13, is this a change in policy or is this a clarification in statewide sort of codification of policy? I mean, I know in the past we've had issues around there's big long lines at 8 o'clock, what do you do? So would you talk about where this came from? I kind of like this solution, by the way.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Berger, actually this prohibition from electioneering and obstructing.
No, it's the next one up there. It's in there, but it's that when you cut it off, the 8 p.m. thing.
As far as the people standing in line.
Yeah.
It has been our policy and our state's policy amongst the 36 counties that anybody that's in line at 8 p.m.
No matter how long the line is,
it could be
another half an hour's worth of voting.
Correct. That we allow them to go ahead and go through the act of voting if they're in line.
Even if, Madam Chair, even if they are, do they have to have at that point their ballots filled out, even if they're still filling them out? I mean, I remember from the last election there were issues around this. There were still people filling out ballots, standing in a line. So to speak.
Tara Rosenbaum, Representative Berger. I believe that it means that they're in the line, even if they haven't received a ballot issued over the county. As long as they're in the line, because that is their intention to get a ballot, then we allow them to
finish. And it looks like the language on lines 26 through 28, as well as on 36 through 38, indicate that people who are in line are going to be allowed to vote, because they say they began the act of voting.
Yes.
By 8 p.m. have finished voting. So.
Yeah, began the act. If I could put this on the record, so this is a codification of what's been happening anyway, or just a change in the way it's described?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Berger, it is to place that in statute, but also just to it has been our policy in the state to finish that. We've had many opinions from Secretary of State's office on this, that you need to allow people that are in line at 8 p.m. to finish the act of voting.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to get that on the record. Thank you.
And, yes, go ahead, Representative Roper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hate to go back, but it just
to the post,
occurred,
are we back
yeah.
to the
well,
post
it's not just the most stuff. This is actually a different than that question, because it became clear. If they do get a P.O. box and they confirm that they have a P.O. box but they stayed in the same residence, then you will send it to the P.O. box. Is that correct?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Roblin, yes.
And my concern there is that once you've done that, and say you have a P.O. box that's in a post office very near where you work, which is maybe in a different county from where you live, but you've confirmed it. Now I could move anywhere else. As long as I stayed in the same work, I can continue to get my ballot and vote in places I shouldn't vote. Because you're already sending it to my address. It keeps coming. I move to another county. It still keeps coming. Now, if that happens and a person votes in a county that they don't live in, is that a violation of the law and punishable by what? I just want to make sure that people understand they do have a responsibility once they've changed their address to this P.O. box, that if they move, they really have a responsibility to change that, which I don't think they would necessarily do. But the penalty is a stiff one, right?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Roblin, I don't know what the penalty is. The Secretary of State's office would have to answer that.
But it has been a concern to me when I've understood that you could use a P.O. box, that once you've done that, if you don't change your P.O. box, because the place where you pick them up is still closest to your work, moving all around makes no difference. And that has a concern. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I think that when you see a notice from appeal, it doesn't change anything. I mean, you still have to go personally and change that, because anyway.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Roblin, just to follow up on that, you know, when they do return the ballot, they have to sign that oath on the envelope verifying that they live it. But I still don't know what the penalty is.
Yeah.
But I think the other question Representative Roblin poses is it against the law to vote in a county where you don't really reside? And I think the answer to that clearly is yes. Other questions? Yes, Vice Chair Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the provisions that have to do with the unofficial polling places, there have been different groups in my community that have actually gone to senior centers and said, let us, we'll deliver your ballots for you. Does that make them an unofficial polling or ballot drop person, or how does the law impact that sort of activity?
Madam Chair, Representative Buckley, this provision only, I believe, governs the drop sites that are set up, and you bring ballots to it, and they deposit the ballots at that drop site. But people that go out and collect, they are anybody that's not deputized by a county clerk is an unofficial. I mean,
right.
And so there really is a risk involved in that, and that is because if you, it's not in the hands of an election official by 8 p.m., it won't get counted.
And does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. And yes, Representative Roblin.
Because in some of our rural areas, there will be an official site away from the county, like the library, where they have someone who's assigned to watch it and all those other, I mean, there's a lot of requirements. It's inside the building. There are other ones where the cities are trying to help, where the cities will set up a deal that's outside. And nobody's necessarily watching it. That's kind of the unofficial one. I mean, a lot of people think it's official, but it doesn't have all the other requirements. And so people drop it off and some city official moves that. So both those exist. And so what we're saying, the one that's being watched and has all the criteria and the clerks have set it up, and they come and check it every day. That's the official one. And the other one's going to have to definitely be posted. And I know we've had that problem in some of our smaller towns, but it looks very official because, I mean, it's being done by another government agency. It's just not official. And that is correct, right? We do have those kinds of things.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Evelyn, I'm surprised that the ones at the cities aren't official. To hear that, because I have many in my county that are with the city and are official, and I've deputized those city officials to collect them. So,
the issue was there was some that were outside and they couldn't. Once that happened, the city wasn't really taking responsibility for it because it was not something they could watch all the time. When it was inside the building, you had to come at regular business hours. Those are the ones that were. And there was an issue, I believe it was in Florence, where there was one of those that was outside, and everybody agreed it was not official. But
okay.
And Vice Chair Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How does one become deputized? Could a senior center volunteer become deputized and then be the collector for? How does that process work?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Buckley. Yes, they can come to Kathy Beckett, Jackson County Clerk, and ask her to deputize them and set up an official job site. You would have to post them. We have to file reports with Secretary of State's office. They have certain time requirements, date requirements, that they have to be open. But yes, it's a possibility.
Okay. Other questions? Yes.
I guess I had just a comment following up on Representative Thatcher. Thank you. Following up on Representative Roblin's ballot drop site security issues. I have concerns about that as well, because I've seen city sites where they're just tossing it into a little recycling bin up on the filing cabinet.
Right.
Or it's a night deposit for water payments, and they're just scattering all over the place inside as they drop down through. And I mean, who knows who else is coming in the building and having access to those ballots. And I just really think that is an issue that... I actually have a bill addressing that, but anyway, I think that's a valid point.
Thanks for your comment. I wanted to ask on the prohibitions on electioneering within 100 feet. I assume measured radially means in a circle around. So how is that going to be enforced, given how busy the elections folks are on election day?
Chair Rosenbaum, it probably differs county to county. I can speak on what we do. Excuse me. In my county, is I have sheriff's deputies available on election day, and actually this extends to any time between when the ballots are mailed and on election day. Usually, if there is any electioneering, it's done without knowledge, or the people doing it don't realize that it's against the law, and that they're within 100 feet of a polling place. So I just simply ask them typically to stop electioneering and explain the law to them. However, if they would continue, I would call my sheriff's deputies, and they would be turned into Secretary of State's office on election law violation.
Would that include something like wearing a campaign button?
Chair Rosenbaum, actually campaign buttons are permissible.
Okay, I don't see any more questions for this witness, so thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2640 or the amendment? Okay, members, we have had quite a bit of discussion and clarification on this bill. Are we ready to work the bill? We are in a work session. Okay, and Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 2640.
Representative Buckley has moved the -1 amendments to House Bill 2640. Is there discussion? Are there objections?
discussion?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that from my perspective, the best part of this bill has to do with the big notification. This is not an official polling space. I think that is really important. It needs to happen because I think there are places that people set up to try to help. They're trying to be helpful, and I don't think they're trying to do anything wrong. But I think it's really important for the public to know when you stick it in that box whether it's somebody's really watching or not. So that's a really important part. And I do think it's nice that we're trying to be consistent.
Could I just mention we are on the amendment? You might want to hold your further comments.
Thank you. Representative, okay. I forgot about the amendment.
Is there further discussion on the amendment?
Thanks.
Is there objection? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted. And
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that Representative Roman might have more to comment on. I'd like to move House Bill 2640 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Buckley has moved House Bill 2640 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Roman.
I just want to say ditto to my comments on the amendment.
They were such good comments. I'm sure you don't want to
No, I don't need to say them again.
Okay.
That's fine.
Further
Once
discussion. Yes.
I'd just like to know, I think this is now two hearings in a row where we've had communication from the county clerks in support of a bill. So it's not this achievement.
Yes, well, I'll take note of that. We appreciate it. Okay, members, we are on a motion to send House Bill 2640 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Will you please call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. And members, would somebody like to volunteer to carry this bill?
I've carried enough. You're sick of hearing me.
Do we have a volunteer? Perhaps Representative Esquivel or Representative Thatcher? Did I see your
I can.
Uncle?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Representative Thatcher will carry the bill. And seeing nothing further to come before us, members, enjoy the luxury of adjourning early because I assure you from the amount of contact I've been getting lately, that will not continue.
The last so. Day of it is
a little before the storm.
Okay, and with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair.